Warning, the Shekelup Podcast is a podcast created by two ex-degenerates that think they know sports gambling and spent their younger days breaking bookies and never hedging. We are not experts on anything, and everything we say should be taken with a grain of salt. We do not condone illegal sports gambling, and all gambling should be done responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shekelup Podcast, where we try to help you navigate the eternal abyss of the always stressful, mostly toxic, but very entertaining world of sports and sports betting. I am one of the hosts for today, Anthony. With me, I have...
K-Mac, out of the Made on Ridgeway Sports Podcast, back here talking about playoffs, and let's go, man. I'm ready.
Hunter Keister, Made Our Ridgeway as well, ready to get back into it. Playoffs have gotten underway in the NBA and NHL, and there's been some good matchups, some questionable calls, and I'm sure we'll get into that on both sides, but good round ones to start it off, so excited to get into it.
Yeah, good round ones. It's almost been competitive around the whole playoffs so far when it comes to basketball. That would be my competitive phone going off there. And yes, it was a Chinese gong. Nice. Yes. But anyway, round one, I mean, you're talking about teams winning between, you know, around 10 points, you know, 10-point victory, which it seems like a lot, but at the same time, a lot of that is free throws being shot at the end with teams trying to foul and stuff like that. But let's talk about the Magic and the Cavs. The Magic and the Cavs go at it round one, 83-97 Cavs. Donovan Mitchell goes off for 30 points. The Magic does absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Cavs shoot 36 for 48. And they just don't have the firepower. At least the Cavs have Donovan Mitchell. They got a couple of good young pieces around them. They're going to keep going. But they go up 2-0.
33%. 33%. Yeah. Holy moly. 22% from three. I mean, Cavs shoot 27, but they don't even shoot bad free throws. It's just like Orlando can't score. Like you said, they really don't have that big name, and it's showing, and it showed early in game one.
Yeah, and game two was pretty much the same story. 86-96, Donovan Mitchell goes off for about 20 points. Magic shoot 29 for 80 in game two. That is atrocious. Magic.
Oof, wow. And Cavs don't even do much better that game. That's wild.
Yeah, for,
I mean, it's a...
I watched the game one Saturday when I was at work just chilling. I tell you, man, for this being a new age NBA type of game, this game was not easy on the eyes, man. Nothing but misses everywhere. Both teams score below 100. How often do you see that? And the Magic's inability to score is what costed them. I mean, Banchero did okay, but the rest of the team, both Wagners didn't really play too well. And then Mitchell just doing his thing with Darius Garland as well. Magic, I don't see them winning this series, and they're going to be a first-round exit. I believe Cleveland will, you know, if you're only scoring 80-some points, that's not much really to stress about. So I like Cleveland, and it's kind of wild how both games were
The Magic, the way they're playing,
Orlando
the Magic
gets one
are not.
In Orlando, I think.
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think the Magic playing that bad has anything to do with them being in Cleveland. I think it has everything to do with the talent that they have. We kind of talked about it on the last podcast about how they probably should not have been in the playoffs anyway. The Sixers should have been that seed. It should be the Sixers in Cleveland. Yeah. It should be because they have the same record as the Sixers, but because
division,
they won the division?
Division record.
If the Magic would have had to play that play-in game against Toronto, Magics aren't even, they're not even in
they
the playoffs. Probably,
they definitely don't win. Yeah, they don't win. They don't win that game against Toronto, I don't think.
You mean Miami?
It's really close, probably. Or
Did I say Toronto? Yeah, my bad. I meant Miami. Jimmy Butler and
Orlando would have quaked. Orlando would have won Miami and quaked. But
because they won the division, yeah. They get the Cavs, and now they're going to get swept. Instead of they're in a dustpan. They're dusty. That's what they're not quaking. They're just dusty. Imagine the Orlando dust bunnies getting swept.
Most likely.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and cry because. Go ahead.
I was going to say real quick, for them, this is a success just getting to the playoffs because, I mean, the past 3 years, they've been one of the bottom feeders in the NBA, so still good for them, but first round exits.
Yeah, yeah, and really, I'm not going to sit here and complain because the Sixers really aren't looking too good either. Joel Embiid tweaks that knee in game one, and the Sixers go down 104 to 111, and a lot of those points came from the Sixers trying to foul. I watched that game, obviously, from beginning to end. And the Knicks, it's funny because the Knicks couldn't do anything with Joel in there. Once they pulled Joel, the Sixers were up 12. And then Magic goes on a freaking like 28-point run. And then by the time Joel comes back after halftime, because he gets hurt at the beginning of the second quarter. And... Yep. Trying to do alley-oop to himself and dunk. Now, listen, that's the first time that he's dunked since he's come back from surgery. I don't want to sit here and say, well, if you weren't fucking trying to showboat, then he was trying to score and get his team up. You know, he was trying to do it during the comeback because when he was on the bench, they lost some ground to the Knicks. So I'm not going to sit here and cry about how he was kind of showboating. But he comes back. He's 50%. And the Knicks can't do anything while he's in there. And Tyrese Maxey, he goes off for 33 points. And B goes off for 29. And then you had Batum, who comes out of nowhere and shoots miraculously from the three spot. Brings the Sixers back. But the Sixers just lost it there at the end. I don't understand what's going on. Because if you look at game two, the same shit happens. 20 seconds left. If I told you you're up by 4 points in a basketball game with 20 seconds left in the game, you're assuming it gets inbounded and then they just shoot free throws, right? Like no time, one timeout for the Knicks, if that. I don't think the Knicks had any timeouts. I think the Sixers had one. And yep. Listen, the Zebras were stampeding. Okay. They were looking like Marty from Madagascar. Tyrese is getting jerseys pulled, smacked in the face, going to the rack, and no fouls are called. But regardless, the Sixers should not have let the Knicks go on a 8-point run with 20 seconds left in the game. 20 seconds left in the game, and they end up losing this damn...
Absolutely not.
They lose this game by four.
Yeah, there's no...
There's
no...
I hate it.
There's no way you don't close that game with an 8-point lead in 28 seconds as kind of like with the first game, they faded down the stretch a little bit, but you could kind of feel just the air just kind of left the stadium, even though it wasn't in Philadelphia when Embiid got hurt, just because, like, oh no, here we go again. But, I mean, the Knicks really... Surprisingly, they were to win this game without their best player really even playing that good, which was crazy. Jalen Brunson only shooting 29% from the field and 17% from three. But really, it was DiVincenzo and Josh Hart keeping them in the game. DiVincenzo has been one of the best three-point shooters, and then Josh Hart apparently somehow leads the series of rebounds, dude, and he's a small forward or like a guard.
Game one, he couldn't shoot for shit.
Yep.
Game one, he could not shoot the three for shit. The Sixers' game plan was to just let him shoot threes because he was just fucking bricking them all night. And then all of a sudden, yep. Fourth quarter, end of the fourth quarter rolls around, and he hit four in a row.
Yeah.
Bricks him all day. Couldn't throw a rock into the ocean.
No. It's been weird. It's just like they've had the leads, but just haven't been able to close it. And you know, when you're on the road, typically starting off, you want to at least steal one on the road. But now being down 0-2, It's not ideal. But
they're going back to
where's your confidence level,
going
Tony?
Back to Philadelphia.
Where's your confidence level,
dude?
Out of 100%, going back to Philly.
It just depends. You got Tobias, the friendly ghost, who fucking disappears in the playoffs every year. Tobias Harris scores 10 points in game 2. That was your third highest scorer on this team.
He doesn't play well in the playoffs. He never has, I swear. He never has.
And that's the difference right now between the Sixers and the Knicks. The Knicks, everybody is contributing. You got 3, 4, 5 players mm-hmm. contributing. On the Sixers, dude, when 85-year-old Kyle Lowry has to score 20 points to keep you in a game, that's not a good thing. Your superstar, who you fucking paid over Jimmy Butler, which I'm still pissed off about, by the way, is paying Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. I am super mad. I was mad mm-hmm. about it when it happened. You chose Tobias Harris, who's scoring you 10 points in the fucking playoffs. That's your max player that you paid over Jimmy Butler. Could you, dude, they had Harden last year. Could you, I'm just saying, like, I think about it. I'm like, if you go Jimmy Butler, Embiid, and then Tyrese Maxey on any of these scenarios, and then at one point they had Harden. Harden, Butler, Maxey, Embiid? Like, how do you, and then who goes, you know what? Tobias Harris sounds a lot better than that. No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Apparently the Sixers organization.
Well, you know what it was? It was Brett Brown. They didn't fire Brett Brown. They should have fired Brett Brown early because they end up firing Brett Brown the next season. Because him and Jimmy did not get along. Him and Jimmy didn't get along, and Ben Simmons didn't get along with Jimmy because Jimmy was calling Ben Simmons soft, which he's absolutely correct because you let a 5'9 Trae Young dunk on you. So you're absolutely correct. And he's, I don't even know, does Ben Simmons even play basketball anymore? I just see him decked out in his drip.
He's on the Nets. Wearing, he's on the Nets, jewelry. But he already plays.
Is he?
He's still,
that's what I'm saying.
He's still dealing with mental issues, and he hasn't really played since he got traded.
Mental issues. Dude, you don't want to play basketball. You want the basketball lifestyle. You wanted that first contract, and now you're done. You're just going to invest your money. That's what the game plan is. You're going to ride out that contract on the bench. And you're just a punk bitch at this point. The Ben Simmons thing, it just irks me to this day. But I digress. I digress. My confidence level is this. They got 2 at home. I'd like to see what happens with the 2 at home. If they can take the 2 at home, I think they can steal one at New York. But the problem is now is you have to win all your home games and steal one in New York. Can you do it?
Yeah,
I mean, that Knicks crowd was live.
You're going to need to win 4 out of the next 5, and that's not going to be easy.
But, Hunter, just so you know, they're at a plus 370. So that's still some value. The Sixers can win the series. Like, I'm not like you've seen it from the Knicks. If Joel Embiid starts feeling better, the Knicks can't score with him in the game for whatever reason. So,
and this series flipped on its head if it's 2-2 going back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Embiid plays, but I think that's the big question mark is where is his health at right now?
And I guess Maxey drops 35 points yesterday, having the flu apparently.
Yeah,
I heard he was sick. I heard he was actually game time decision to not play.
Yeah, so I mean,
wow,
and that just shows how close these two teams are. I mean, 104 to 108. That was it. I mean. With a sore Embiid and a flu ridden Maxey.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be. I think this series is probably going to go 6 or 7, but I don't. We never know with Joel. We just never know. That's just
And that's the thing. And I didn't come into the series thinking that if the Sixers won this series, I thought they could win this series. But after that, they were done. I don't care who they got afterwards. I mean, they could beat the Cavs. I think they could beat the Magic. I think they could beat the Pacers. I don't think they can beat the Bucks. I don't think they can beat the Celtics. So it's they could beat the Cavs, but they'd have a hard time. I did say that, but I didn't see no problem with the Knicks. But once Embiid, and there wasn't. I mean, even they showed at the beginning of that game one that with a healthy Joel Embiid, the Knicks can't hang with the Sixers.
Maybe. I don't know. We have time will tell.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Jimmy Butler. We brought him up earlier. This series was over as soon as he was ruled out for these games. I mean, the Celtics are just mollywopping the shit out of the Heat. If Jimmy Butler was there, they have a really strong chance to be a dark horse in these playoffs. But dude, Bam, 24 points in game one. I mean, I just don't see it happening for the Heat. I mean, they're just getting blown out by 20 points at the end of the game. And it's the same concept. Like, the Celtics are just, there's contribution from the Celtics everywhere across the board on that team. What do you think,
yeah,
Kurt?
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of people had the same idea of when Jimmy Butler got hurt during the Sixers game and then played the rest of it and was pretty much ruled out for the next few weeks that this series was a wrap. Obviously, there's familiarity here because these two did play in the playoffs. Last year, the Heat beat them, and the Celtics choked like a 3-1 lead, if I'm not mistaken. And the Heat would go to the finals and lose. But without Jimmy Butler, I just don't see it for Miami. I know they have a good coach and what's-his-face, but Eric Spoelstra, I don't know his last name, but yeah, Boston.
Spoelstra.
Yeah, Boston is just too well of a well-rounded team. With Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then you got Porzingis and a couple other dudes there. And this series will probably be done within five, if they're lucky. Boston's just been one of the best teams, and Miami without Jimmy Butler is just not, it's not going to be the same. They'll keep it, they'll probably, you know, they'll hang in there and they'll make it, they won't make it easy on the Celtics, but I still think they'll win even in the worst day. But they do play, looks like they're playing, not tonight, they play tomorrow night, actually. So, game one, there's only one game so far. So
Tonight it's some of the West, it's most of the rest of the West and stuff like that. There's still a couple teams there playing. you know, it is what it is. But you know what, some of these odds, I mean, according from last week when we spoke, they haven't really changed. I mean, the Cavs moved up a little bit to win the conference. I actually don't have that. To win the whole thing, they're at a plus 1600. So,
damn.
I don't know, can't really be mad at that. But the Celtics are still favored to win this whole thing at a plus 130. I mean, it's them and Denver at a plus 240 to win this thing. So Celtics are still definitely the favorite. But some of these odds coming out, because this episode will come out Thursday. So if you're listening to this, it's today. The Sixers are actually favored for this home game at a minus 4.5. And on the money line, minus 186. So I don't know what the Vegas is thinking there. It's a couple days away, so I mean that's pretty much where the line's going to be set. The Cavs and Magic. It's funny because we thought, you know, Hunter said something about the Magic maybe taking one. The Cavs are actually the underdog here, going back to Orlando at a plus 1.5 and a plus 102 on the money line.
Yeah.
Woo. And just throwing a
game.
Yeah, and the only line that they have up that's past this day is the Nuggets and Lakers for the Western Conference right now. So that Nuggets are a minus one, minus 112, but the Lakers are a minus money on the money line, but plus one in the points. So I guess I would call that more of a push than anything. And Wednesday, I mean, this is just what I mean about the Heat here. Wednesday, the Heat play again, plus it's a plus 14.5. Point line.
Yeah,
that's a big line. That's wild.
Yeah, so I don't know. To win this
no
conference.
Jimmy, no chance.
Still a lot of points, though.
But Knicks are second in the conference. Oh, that's a lot of points. The playoff game? Yeah. And the Knicks are plus 600 to win the conference, right underneath the Celtics at a minus 250. That's where it was. And then it's the Bucks. But, you know, man, it's a shame that Giannis wasn't playing, because the Bucks moving over to the Western Conference. Oh, not the Eastern, the Western Conference. What am I talking about? But the moving over to the Bucks and the Pacers, Lillard's really carrying that team, averaging around 35 points both games. I'm not mad at that.
No Giannis so far, right?
Yeah,
no Giannis.
Yeah, game one was really... Sunday, and Dame went off for 30-plus, and the Bucks had a 40-point second quarter outlet of scoring, and then they pretty much just coasted the second half, so that's the only reason it even looked kind of close. But, yeah, the Bucks pretty much took care of Indiana with little to no no difficulty there.
And again, a goddamn team that doesn't deserve to be there. But because they had a better divisional record than the Sixers did, I'm going to be on that forever. That shit threw me the fuck off. Listen, I wouldn't want to play the Bucks. If I was the Sixers, I wouldn't want part of the Bucks. I mean, Dame probably can go off. I mean, if I'm taking the Knicks, you know, talent over the Bucks talent, I'm taking the Knicks or the Cavs. I'd want to stay away from the Bucks.
Yeah, that's a close one. I mean, it's different without Giannis there, though, for sure. Totally different team.
Yeah, he's a special player, but I mean, I think we're getting into that time with both Giannis and Embiid where the big man curse, you just start them knees and them ankles, boy, they just start going.
Unfortunately, it's a part of the game, especially with the big man. But it looks like over here on the Western side, there's been some interesting things going on, some not really surprising things. Looking at going back to Saturday, Phoenix and Minnesota, game one, the Timberwolves absolutely waxed the Suns, wasn't even close. Anthony Edwards just went bonkers,
yep.
And the Suns just could not keep up with Minnesota at home. It looks like Carl Anthony Towns.
As of right now, the Wolves are getting at him again.
Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert back. It's good to see actually a full squad for once. They're playing right now, if I'm not mistaken. That should be interesting to see how that goes. Saturday.
Yeah, 18-12 right now. So they're, okay. I mean, they're pulling away now in the first quarter. They got about 3 minutes left in the first. So
Saturday night, we had the Lakers at Denver. And I watched this game, and the Lakers honestly played a really good game, but they just fizzled down the second half of the game. They had a 14-point lead at one time. I mean, LeBron and AD played good, about as good as you could ask them to play, though LeBron looked like he was tired in the fourth quarter. But Denver...
Yeah, but it's that same... It's that same thing that I've been saying with some teams, man. Like, yeah, the Lakers are good, but you can't have two people going off and the rest of the team doing nothing. You're talking about James and Davis go off for 27 and 32, and then you got 7 points, 13 points. Austin Reeves gets 13. Your bench only has 11.
Yep.
That's not a winning thing. Meanwhile, you go over to the Nuggets, and Porter gets 19. Gordon's got 12. Jokic got 32, Murray's got 22, Caldwell Pope's got 12, and then you're getting almost 20 points from your bench.
Yeah, and that would have made it 9 straight that the Nuggets beat them that day. And then last night, we had the Lakers with a 20-point lead at one time, and they end up losing the game 101-99 on a Jamal Murray game-winning shot. In which Jamal Murray didn't even play good the entire game. Literally, the Nuggets were giving it to the Lakers. Like, here, take the game. But even with AD and LeBron still playing about as good as you can ask them to play, LeBron has an open three to win the game and make the shot, and he misses. And then D'Angelo Russell and LeBron were complaining after the game about a call that should have happened on D'Angelo Russell during the third quarter. Really? That's what we're going. That's what we're going to talk from a call
from
that
third
from a
the
layup,
third quarter.
A layup.
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah,
I saw that.
D'Angelo Russell missed
in the third. Why are we complaining?
He got hit in the face. It's a foul, but that has nothing to do with why you blew a 20-point lead.
Yeah, because you were still Absolutely. Yeah, you were still
my,
up.
That was my thoughts. I thought this was at the end of the game. So when I saw that, I was baffled. When I heard it was from the third quarter, I was like, LeBron, you're up 20. I get it, sir, but I call, but it's from the third quarter. You're up 20. What's going on?
Yeah, and I know I was bitching about the refs, but the stuff with Maxey that happened, like when Maxey was trying to inbound the ball, the Knicks were pulling on his jersey with like the 6 seconds to go. And then Maxey went to the rack with 6 seconds to go. And it got slapped in the face. So, like, when I'm bitching about the refs, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
crucial
like
moments.
I'm not sitting there like third quarter or something happened. Yeah.
And so this is similar to last year. The Lakers play the Nuggets very close and tight, but just aren't able to make the plays down the stretch when they need to. And now the Nuggets have beaten them 10 straight. And that's why their head coach is saying, we're their daddy. So I don't know. I mean, for the Lakers, you got to
Yes, the daddy Nuggets.
If you're on the road, man,
the Lakers have to refer to them the daddy Nuggets.
You had to steal one of these games on the road because these were games you should have won, or at least the second one for sure. The first one, you know, it's never going to be easy at Denver, but the second one, you're up 20. You got to close it. You got to close it, man. But now they head back to LA. It looks like. What was that, Thursday night?
Yep.
Oh, yep, yep right.
Yep. Yeah, down 0-2.
Yep, and like I said, down 0-2, and you're a point underdog. It's pretty much a push, but it's both minus money for both teams. So you know, we were talking about this, I think, last week a little bit about, you know, sleepers and dark horses and ball hogs, and it looks like we might have been wrong when it came to the Mavericks and Clippers.
Oh man, dude, I was watching that quote unquote game. I want to say it was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday, right after we did the draft, draft podcast. And man, the Mavericks got waxed. James Harden went vintage. Kawhi Leonard was out, so he stepped up big time, making classic Houston vintage James Harden threes. Russell Westbrook stepped up. Luka Doncic and Kyrie did not
he'll disappear in the second round. Don't worry.
They did not do jack squat. They scored 8 points in the second quarter. 8 points. So they got blown off the floor, and that was not a very exciting game to watch. But yeah, the Mavericks are need to play a whole lot better if they want to win the next game, as they play tonight at 10 o'clock. But yeah, the Clippers looked good on Sunday, but it's only one game.
And again, this seems like to be a common issue in these playoffs. These teams got one good player or two good players that go off, and then they lose to these teams that have a whole team contribution. It's almost March Madness all over again. When we were talking about some of the stuff that UConn was doing and stuff like that, and you're talking about with that Mavericks game, Luka does his thing. He goes off. He, what, 30-something points, 33 points, and then Kyrie Irving goes off for 30-something points. And then, like you said, you got James Harden going off for 30 points. You got Paul George going off for 22. You got Westbrook's 13 coming off the bench. And there's not much you can do when nobody else is scoring on your damn team.
No, I just look back at that second quarter. I mean, how you can only score 8 points in an NBA quarter is they just could not make anything. And that's how it is with the live by the three, die by the three. If you ain't hitting the threes, then you go on these long scoring droughts where you don't score for a while.
Yeah, if they just keep up with LA just a little bit, they might win that game.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But you just, like you said, you disappear. You disappear in the second quarter. So I guess, you know what, game one is tonight?
Game two is tonight, yeah.
Or game two is, no, game two is tomorrow. Yeah, yep, game two is
tonight.
Okay. So are you sure? Because if they played yesterday, they don't playing
they
2 days
Sunday
in a row like that. Oh, today's freaking Tuesday, bro. I am thrown off. Like, that draft episode and then... Yeah, just it was a weird Monday, I'm telling you what, it's just, it's a long beginning of the week. It's rainy.
You're getting old. Today. It's okay.
Rainfall.
It is. It is.
We know, old, man. We know you're getting old.
Listen, hey, guys, it comes quick. It comes quick. Just like you youngins do. You know what I'm saying?
And then to cap things off real quick with the West. Yeah, well, I saw that dig. The Pelicans-Thunder matchup Sunday night. Thunder were able to survive a very close sweating game. Hunter, I know you and Devin must have been sweating because the Pelicans.
Kurt, I was going to say, did you watch that?
I saw the first half.
I'll talk
remember
about it, but talk about it
during
first
the pre-draft show okay. Sunday, you were saying, you think you'll take the Pelicans +9? I was like, yeah, probably. But yeah, tell us what happened there. What happened?
So 94-92, great game. You know, obviously no Zion. Don't know what to expect from the Thunder. Obviously going from, honestly, like, you know, one of the bottom feeders like we talked about. Yeah, I forget you said another team would like this too, but Thunder obviously drafted pretty high these last couple of years. And then now they make it all the way to the one seed in the West, which is really impressive. And this young core is really coming along, but you didn't know what you were going to see in the playoffs. Thunder had made the playoffs in 3 years. Electric home crowd. The crowd was electric and a great atmosphere for game one. 94-92 was the final. CJ McCollum off a pump fake throws up a game winner and it misses. And me and Devin were watching that. We watched that entire game together. And that's probably one of the first NBA games I've watched from start to finish all season. And it was a great game. Brandon Ingram looked unstoppable. He was. The Thunder had no answer, and Thunder couldn't really make shots. They went through a lot of times with a lot of missed shots on their part, but they found a way. They found a way to get the win.
If I'm not mistaken, I think.
Yeah, I don't think Gregorius.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I can never say his name, but I'll just say SGA. I think he scored 20 points in the fourth.
Well, that's what I was. Yeah, I was getting
probably,
to that. There
it probably was something like that.
I don't think Gregorius Alexander is going to score 30 points every game this series to keep the Thunder in it. I think the Pelicans got a better overall team and they were just kind of sleeping. I mean, from the looks of it, it looks like that it was even completely until halftime. You're talking about 17 points for both teams and then 26 points for both teams in the first two quarters. And then, you know, OKC mm-hmm. kind of pulled away a little bit. So... I'm just not sure with, they're good players, but it looks like the Pelicans had contribution all over the place. I mean, you're talking McCollum, 20 points, Murphy, 21 points. Like you said, Brandon Ingram, he goes off for 12, and Valanciunas goes off for 13, and he got 8 points from the bench, and then Alvarado, 5 points. I mean, it looks like everybody's scoring. So I don't know if the Thunder's going to be able to keep up with that as they continue to go out through this playoffs, because you're going to need that kind of performance from Gregorius Alexander every time. In my opinion.
I think the Thunder also just didn't, like how the Pelicans were able to be more well-rounded as a team. SGA really had to make them. He was just the scorer. He had to be the scorer. When he wasn't the scorer, the Thunder weren't scoring. And I mean, that I don't think that'll be the case the whole series. And if it is, the Thunder are in trouble because, like you said, I don't know how much he can be able to sustain needing 30 points to win the game. But realistically, I mean, nobody on the Thunder offensively could make a shot besides him. And anytime that he would, like, because he was being really pass heavy in that game, even in the fourth quarter. And me and Devin were honestly on the edge of our seats screaming, shoot the ball.
You're that guy.
Because he was so pass happy. And it was going nowhere. Like, yeah, like we're like, you are the guy here. You are passing away the shots and you are the primary scorer. And then every time that he would shoot, it was going in. So I think that he needs to be of primary focus, but there's got to be a lot more help around him if the Thunder want to keep this. And game two is a big one, because if New Orleans can steal this, that's rough to have the Thunder go on the road 1-1. They definitely want to go up 2-0.
But the Thunder, I will tell you this, with the Thunder, they're second in the conference ranked at a +500. So, I mean, yeah, maybe we're wrong. I don't know. The Nuggets for their conference are +110, and then the Clippers are +500, even with the Thunder. The Mavs, +1,000. So, I mean, The Pelicans aren't even sniffing the top five of these teams to even win the conference. So, I mean,
I'm sure that had a lot to do.
That would be quite the upset if they.
I'm sure that has a lot to do with when Zion got injured during that play-in game last week against the Lakers. Because up until then, he had 40 plus points, and they were about to beat the Lakers. But injuries happen. So
if that young man would just get in shape. He would be so dominant. Like, if he just turned all that,
he's got some cardio, but
his body is not in shape.
Compared to how he was looking during his injury.
I know, though.
That man was 300 plus pounds.
He can still slim down some more.
What are you trying to say, Tony?
If he wasn't fat, he'd be a better player. That's just my opinion. Like, Embiid's a center. He's big, but Embiid came into this league skinny. Then Embiid got fat, and now Embiid's kind of ripped. So, like, it takes a while to get to that point. You get that man strength and that man definition. But if he can, his cardio is good and he can move fast now for a big guy. But if he just put a little more effort into it, like, players should take, I know everybody hates LeBron James, but really every NBA player should take a page out of LeBron James's book. And that is the page of availability, the page of taking care of yourself, fitness page, whatever the regimen is, the post-care for your body, the off-season care for your body. You need to find that chapter of LeBron James's book and use it. Because you say whatever you want with the way he's playing now. People get on his case. My man is 38 years old, dropping 39. 30 in NBA games. 39, 40 points.
Him
and Anthony Davis. Him and Anthony. It's not him and a whole team. It's him and Anthony Davis, and that's it.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
LeBron's
investment and his resources as far as just putting back into his body and taking care of it is probably some of the best I've ever seen for an athlete. I mean, he spends $1 million plus, I want to say, I saw in a video.
He spends on himself.
It doesn't matter because the longevity speaks for itself. I mean, when I think about injuries, he never has suffered anything major in 20 plus years. I mean, minor little nagging injuries, but never anything serious that's ever put his career in jeopardy. And that only speaks to how serious and how much work he puts into taking care of his health and body. You know, you can't make it this long into this game if you're not doing those things. And the younger players are finding that out early, like Zion, for example. 300 plus pounds, dude, and you're like 23. You know, that New Orleans gumbo and cuisine ain't going to work, man. You ain't going to get the bag doing it like that. So.
And he's in, like you said, he's getting better. I will say that he's getting better than what he was. Like, you're absolutely correct, but he can be in better shape.
Oh, no, absolutely.
He can still be in better shape. And it takes time, and it takes time to do that. But at the same time, I want to say it takes time, but you're also a multimillionaire NBA player that all you do is play basketball. Yep. So you should be able to do it a little more quicker than me, you, or Hunter could, you know?
Former number one overall pick, the weight of a franchise on your shoulders, and you're out here.
Well, he's the weight of the franchise.
I mean, he was when they took him. I mean, that New Orleans had all this hype when they took him.
Literally and figuratively.
I didn't even think about it that way.
That's what I mean. He was the weight on the franchise.
Pretty much.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. Zion's going to show up at my front door. He's going to fly from New Orleans.
Yeah, that's all I have for the West so far. A couple game ones, a couple game twos played. But, got some more action tonight and some tomorrow. So, see what happens.
Yeah, by the time we get back on, the first round should be wrapping up, and we'll really figure out what the heck is going on with a lot of these teams. We were on with the playing games, but it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. It looks like most
what
of
happens?
Those should be.
And I think the writing's on the wall for a lot of the teams anyway, to be honest with you. You can kind of see it. I mean, I love my Sixers, but I mean, I would be shocked if they did come back. The way that they have been playing and the things that are happening with Joel tweaking the knee and Tyrese being sick and stuff like that. And now I think Kyle Lowry is a little hurt and he's been a beast on defense. I for them to come back from the 2-0 deficit would be really tough. And honestly, I didn't really expect anything once Joel went down in January. And people forget that he came back
early,
like three games before the playoffs even started.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's really just that one last night.
So people thought that maybe it was over.
That one's just a little bit too much to overcome, which is tough.
Yeah, when you had it in your hands, that can be worse. That can be more devastating than just losing the game by 20. Is just letting it slip out of your hands.
This is Sparta!
It's the K-Mac attack. Oh, wow.
All right. This is not just Sparta, but this is a segment where K-Mac goes ham on some idiot or whatever, or some anger, whatever game he saw that angered him, or however it goes. Buckeye Internet.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of coincidental. We were just talking about health and shape. And I find that's been a common thing that aggravates me in this world. So I've been looking up some things for just the U.S. population and I'm just out of curiosity. So by the year 2030, the U.S. is projected to be 50%+ morbidly obese. Right now, it's currently 39.6%. And an estimated annual medical cost little survey that was done back in 2019 shows that people that were overweight spent $173 billion as a group total. Where in comparison, a healthier person would spend... A person that is morbidly obese spends almost $2,000 more than a regular health, just regular sedentary health lifestyle. And since 1980, the percentage of obesity has doubled. And so I think my message is here is that we are not on a good track country-wise, population-wise. I mean, right now, there's 18.5% of kids being obese. I just think some of these things aren't being talked about enough, honestly. They're underlying issues. They impact your longevity, your health, your diabetes, et cetera, heart attacks. You don't live as long. And so I think people need to take it a little more serious. I'm not saying to go balls to the walls, 100 miles a week, or anything crazy, but I do think it's okay, you know, maybe once a day, just get outdoors, do something for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, listen to a podcast, you know, us or something, or, you know, read a, you could hear a narration of one of your favorite books or watch a video or, I don't know, just something brisk, something light that you enjoy and, you know, just get a little better and just try to be a little better. But it scared me when I saw that 50%+ of people by 2030 are going to be obese. And I don't know, man. It kind of makes me sad when I see younger folks, like really little kids that aren't outside being active and just sitting inside, just playing games, eating chips, Cheetos. Like, I don't know. It just it makes me feel bad. It's like, man.
Yeah. So the modern day convenience of food delivery now is kind of what, you know, I would say makes it a little worse. And also it's big money, right? Like these corporations and monopolies and stuff like that, that they want to do, you know, they got these big chain restaurants and stuff like that. And then it's even more money because you talked about the medical field a little bit. Well, yeah, some stuff is allowed to be put in our food that in other countries is not allowed to be put in our food. Because it will send you to the hospital eventually.
Yep.
You know, money makes the world go around. But I will also say, like you know, the DoorDash and all that makes stuff a lot easier. Nobody's cooking. But with that, I mean, because I'm gonna give him some crap. But your nephew ordered like $40 in Wendy's with his buddy the other day. He had like 2 Baconators, some fries, the loaded, what do you call it, baked potato that they have there, and
yeah.
He was just like, you know, telling me all this stuff. I said, dude, you're 16. How, like, you're about to have a heart attack eating all that stuff, man. I go, you got to watch yourself, buddy. But you're absolutely right. And as an adult, and even as an older adult now, you know, I'm not pushing 40 yet. I'm still in my mid 30s. But I mean, I know how hard it is for people to sit there and say, well, you know, I'm so busy doing this and doing that. I got to take my kid to practice. But what are you doing when you take your kid to practice? Are you walking around the field to get, you know, some steps in? Or are you sitting in your car watching TikTok or whatever it is you're doing in your car? You know, there's always a million excuses. And Kurt, honestly, you know how busy that I was when I was, you know, being a single dad before, you know, my life now. I had work for 10 hours. I had kung fu class for 2 hours. I had my kids, and my kids had sports practices. I got up at 5 to go to the gym, then go to work, then go get my kids, take them to practice, then go to my kung fu class. And my night would end at 11 p.m. and I would wake up at 5 to do it all over again. And I did that from 2016 to 2019. And the only reason why I stopped is because my kung fu class closed, you know, or I'd still be doing it now. So I found time, and you know, I was never tired. And that's the other thing. People are like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can do it. Well, the more that you're active, the less tired you are. Yeah, you're tired. It's a different kind of tired. Like, you're tired because you're like, man, woof, I'm knocked out from doing all that exercise. And then there's that when you're not doing anything, that lazy, groggy, yep, depression tired.
Yeah.
Once you start moving,
it's almost like gone. Your body's way of telling you, like, we don't like this, so we're going to make you feel kind of laggy and tired. But really, if you actually just got up and moved for 20 minutes and got your blood going a little bit, you'd actually feel better. But I also think some of these numbers might still be played by the fact of when everyone went into the pandemic and everyone was isolated to an extent. Like, don't go anywhere. You know, don't do anything, and the gym's closed.
I get it, but you know what I did during the pandemic? I bought a bicycle in the pandemic, and I started riding my bike every day because I couldn't go to the gym.
Yep.
I was perfectly fine. I rode it. I was doing at least probably 50 miles a week.
Yeah, so that COVID time was pretty cool for me. That was turnt. That sounds terrible.
It was litty.
But to me, I was out of work for 3 months because of a high grade ACL sprain, even though that sounds terrible. But like, just being able to be active, even though I wasn't supposed to be, I was still outside doing shit. I didn't care. But yeah, that was just something.
Listen, don't mistake that. All right, because what some people don't understand is what do you do after you hurt something? What do the doctors recommend you go do?
Rest it.
Physical therapy.
Oh.
Nothing.
No. Physical therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Physical therapy is just working out that muscle or knee. So, I mean, like, that's, like, when I tore my hamstring in martial arts class. Tore it. Ooh. You want to know what I did? I went back to kung fu class every day. And eventually it healed. It's fine. Like, it hurt, and I wouldn't push it as hard, but I kept pushing it, and it was fine. I'm not saying go out there and sprint. Like, I get it. Like, a football player, when they tear their hamstring, isn't going to go back out and run a 4.43 or anything like that. But yeah, you know, the thing is like, you're like a sponge. Your body's like a sponge. So when you injure it or tear it, you don't want to like do nothing, because then it becomes more brittle.
Sure,
you want to keep working it, warm it up, put some blood into it.
You gotta build the strength back.
Yeah, I don't know how this turned into a fitness recovery session, but you know, the people like some weird information. But let's get back on track.
Time for Hunter's Hockey Hits on the Chickalope Podcast, brought to you by Hunter Keister.
All right, it's time for Hunter's Hockey Hits, but it is not only the hits. We have playoff hits, and we're going to talk about this. But Hunter, I'm not going to let you get into it right away, because I'm going to throw some things out to the people and throw some things out to you, and I want your opinion on it, because obviously we've had some good hockey action, but what I like to talk about is value on this podcast and value in the futures. And we got some futures here for the championship team to come out of the thing to win the championship, the big old Stanley Cup. And I don't mean that stuff that you girls waited for 3.5 hours to buy at Walmart. I'm talking about the Hockey Sir Stanley's Cup, all right? And we got the Hurricanes at a plus 460, the Oilers at a plus 555, the Panthers at a plus 650, the Rangers at a plus 650. Now, what's really interesting to me is that the top four or five here is mostly Eastern Conference teams and one Western Conference teams. Now, usually in most sports, it's almost the other way around. The Western Conference is usually the strongest conference, or the AFC, as I like to call it. I like to compare it to the Western Conference. And yeah, I mean, the two top teams in the East are Hurricanes at plus 210 to win the East and the Rangers at a plus 300 to win the East. But then you have like the Oilers at a plus 250 and the Knights at a plus 470. And the Knights were actually a plus like 1,000, I believe, on the money line to win the whole thing. So it is far and above the East over the West. Hunter, what do you think?
Well, just about the, I think this year, the East is definitely better than the West. I think if I'm looking at, both these, both the sample sizes of the teams, and I would just say the East is from top to bottom the better playoff conference this year. And if I'm looking at it, I definitely would. I'm thinking there's probably more Stanley Cup teams coming, like available out of the East this year. If I'm looking at it, I think it'll be an interesting race, but that doesn't surprise me that people are saying that the East is the better conference. But I would also agree that usually the West seems like it's better, and I would maybe I would just say the West is better because that's where Chicago plays, and I'm used to that side. But
I mean, well,
I'm definitely going with the East.
Detroit, man. How many years was like 25 years? Detroit was so good, and you know what I mean. They were winning Stanley Cup after Stanley Cup, so I guess that makes sense. But go tell me about some of these games, man.
Yeah, 100%.
I totally hijacked Hunter's segment. So you want me to replay the music for you, Hunter? Will that make you feel better? I just thought it was funny.
You are fine. Let's get into it. We got these first basket games. We're gonna look at Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, game one from Carolina. This is a 3-1 final. Frederick Anderson makes 34 saves. Varlamov 23 out of 25, and in the loss for him, so not a whole lot of action for him, but didn't play very well. Let's see, shots on goal, yeah, 34-26, and Islanders 0-2 on the power play. Carolina gets 1-1 for 3, so that helps them out. So they'll get the game one win, and then game two was last night. And it was a very competitive game in which the Islanders start out 3-0. The Islanders go up 3-0 midway through the second period. And then it is 5 unanswered Carolina Hurricanes goals to come back and steal game 2 on home ice. Because that would have been a very big win for the Islanders on the road to bring it back to New York 1-1. Instead, Carolina brings it back 5-3. And they take the 2-0 lead going back to New York Islanders. The other series that started that day was the Boston. Oh, you go ahead.
No, say, dude, I was looking at some stuff and I was looking at some box scores. The Oilers and the Kings, man, are really like duking it out. 11 goals that whole game. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get there. That's a couple days away. We're going to get there.
Oh, yeah. No, I get you. I get you. I was just, hey, man, I'm trying to participate in this hockey
for sure
thing that you got going on.
I'm ready. We'll get there. You're gonna have me missing days if we start jumping over days and shit. Boston, Toronto Boston's on a 7-game win streak against Toronto going into game one. And it's 5-1 Boston to continue the streak and make it 8 games in game number one. They start this game off 4-0 before Toronto finally gets something in the third period. But it's all Boston in this game. Toronto 0-for-3 on power plays. Boston was 2-for-5 on power plays. So they got a lot of calls and really didn't capitalize. They hit a lot of crossbars in this game, so they could have had a lot more goals. But 5-1, they get the game one win. Game two, going for 9 in a row. This game was on the Boston Bruins money line. And it's actually Toronto in a 3-2 win in Boston to steal game two. And even the series at 1-1. Take that. Boston, you kind of got to go down at some point. You beat them 8 times in a row. I wanted to ride the hot hand, but I felt like they had to win at some point, especially in a 7-game series. And they come back, they get a game two win, and I think they're looking a lot better than going to Toronto, backs against the wall, down 0-2. So that was pretty big for them. Tony, let's move into the Edmonton-LA series now. First game is 7-4. What a competitive game. This game starts out 4-0 Edmonton.
Really?
And then okay. 2 for the Kings, 2 more for Edmonton, 2 for the Kings, 1 more for Edmonton.
That's a lot of goals.
7-4 final. I gotta see how many shots. 45 Edmonton shots on goal, 37 LA Kings shots on goal.
That's...
Edmonton 3-for-4 on the power play.
Now, is this high scoring more of a thing of like shots on goal, or is it like, because from what I remember, like back, especially old style hockey, it was almost like, yeah, you get like 2 or 3, you know what I mean? 2 or 3 in a game or something like that. Now, like even, you know, with the Jets and the Avalanche, man, 7-6, 7-6.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say a lot of playoff hockey is usually lower scoring. But after these games, it was a pretty decent stretch of goals being scored. Vegas and Dallas, we'll get into that series as well. That was a 4-3 Vegas win in game number one from Vegas. Or no, that was from Dallas. Vegas won game one in Dallas. Oh, that was massive. Holy moly. And another game, this was only 28-15 shots on goal, but still a 4-3 final. So that's pretty crazy. Good start to that series there. And then, those games are going to happen again. And then we'll jump to, That's Rangers and Capitals, game one. That's starting off that series. Or no, yep. That's game two. Rangers, Capitals, game one was 4-1.
Yeah, that's going on now, yeah.
Rangers. That was a big win. And then, like you said, the Winnipeg and Colorado game. 7-6. Incredible. There was 6 goals in the first period. 6 goals in the first period.
And then everybody got put to sleep.
3-3 is the score at the end of the first period. Wow.
Yeah. No, that's 6 goals. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of electricity in a building. But then, I mean, even like you said, 3-3. Shoot. What is that? 5 more goals were still scored at that point.
Absolutely. Right. 13 goals in the game is just crazy, unheard of, especially for a playoff game.
I'll take it, though. You know, that's we all love points.
Florida. Oh, yeah, we all love points. Yes. Hockey. It's always better when there's goals being scored. There's more energy. The atmosphere is better. A good defensive hockey game is always good. Some nights, but you can really tell when there's an electric crowd with some goals being scored. We got to go to the Battle of Florida. Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, game number one. This is a game one from Florida, and this is a 3-2, very tightly contested hockey game, like I expected it to be, like I expect the series will be. 28-19 with the shots. 1-for-3 on power plays with the Panthers. 1-for-2 on power plays with Lightning. Florida gets the game one win. Much needed there. You definitely didn't want an experienced team like Tampa Bay to steal game one on home ice. And then we also opened the Vancouver and Nashville Predators series with a Vancouver 4-2 win in Vancouver.
All right. That's not bad. I mean, it's got a lot of action going on. There's some games going on right now. Seems like hockey might be more exciting to watch than some of these slop NBA games like the Magic and the Cavs and
don't watch that.
And the Celtics.
That Magic Cavs game was
and the
brutal
Celtics
Saturday.
And the Heat.
That I couldn't even.
I'll glance at some NBA games when I'm trying to decide what to watch between NHL and NBA. And 9 times out of 10, not even me just liking hockey more, just looking at the game or like looking at the matchup, I'm like, I know this hockey game's gonna be better. So I end up putting that on. And so far in these playoffs, I think that's been the way to go so far. NHL has been the way to go, especially with the way these games have been. Like you said, there's a game going on right now. We got a 2-1 game in Florida as Florida and Tampa Bay play game two in Florida. And the Rangers and Washington game two in New York is 3-2 right now. And that's only just about to end the second period. So a whole lot of game left to be played. And the Rangers, as I speak, just scored shorthanded on the Capitals to make it 4-2. That was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, go check those out, folks.
Go!
All right. It's that real football time. And I'm going to give you the nice premier parlay pick of the week. Premier League style, La Liga style, whatever games I can find in this soccer world. We're coming down to the end here, so I'm going to have to figure out another premier parlay. We're still going to call it premier because they are premier picks, and you're only going to find them here when we do this parlay. So first, we're going to go over to Liverpool, minus 190. We're going to grab them. You're going to grab Newcastle, and these games are all being played on the weekend. Newcastle at a minus 490. Man United, minus 220. Arsenal, minus 115. Man City, minus 300. Barcelona in the La Liga, minus 310. You're going to wrap that up in a bundle and get a plus 567. Throw 10 bucks on there, win yourself a good 50 bucks. Or if you're big balling like K-Mac usually is, you can drop a band on that. It is pretty interesting. Last time we spoke, Man City was ranked number one in the Premier League. Well, unfortunately, like I said, this is going to be a very tight race. Arsenal is up by 4 points right now, 77 points. Liverpool is in second at 74, and Man City is down to third with 73 points. So it is a lot of back and forth going on in the Premier League. They're all switching up, and really it's really going to come down to May 19th and to see where these teams are, and it's really going to come down to the last, probably, game in this league, which is very nice. So if you guys got nothing to do on Sunday morning, I know you guys are used to the NFL playing, but go ahead and check Man City out. Check out some soccer. Like I said, these games are played on Saturday mornings. Sometimes Saturday afternoons, like 12:30. Sundays, definitely in the morning. Check those out, because if you got a team and a rooting interest and you really kind of understand the way soccer works, you guys will like it, because you're just like, Jesus. Because these guys just don't stop. I mean, you're talking about a game that is consistently clocked. There's no stoppage time. There's no timeouts. There's no commercial TVs out. The game starts and it's 45 minutes, halftime. The game starts again, 45 minutes, and then halftime. And that's some real athletic ability when you could run for fun. Some of these guys get no rest. You maybe get one or two subs, sometimes three, depending on how the game goes. And these guys are just running, kicking balls, saving, diving, sliding, taking hits, running into each other with no pads. And I got a whole new kind of respect for soccer and stuff like that. So, and sometimes you can catch a game where a lot of goals are being scored. So don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it, guys. To bring up a little bit of baseball here, because, you know, we are kind of in the mix with baseball. We're not fully into baseball, but the Phillies are getting smashed by the Cincinnati Reds, and they're the only team right now getting smashed like 13-1 right now. I just wanted to throw my depression out there. That's fine. Don't be like Shohei Ohtani's financial advisor and gamble your friend's money all away without him knowing or anything like that. So, you know, you don't want to lose your job that way. That was kind of crazy to hear. But, yeah. Guys, thanks for rolling through. I appreciate it. We did the draft episode. Hope everybody's enjoying that currently. When this airs, it'll be Thursday morning, so we'll be leading up to the draft. And I can't wait to see what actually happens. I forgot that the Eagles had Rodgers from the Colts because he got suspended last year, and they picked him up last year. So that's almost like I thought maybe the Eagles would need a corner.
Say a Rodgers.
I don't think they're going to go corner now because I think they forgot all about Rodgers. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw he got brought back off the suspended or whatever that list is called. I don't know.
For gambling. So do not be like Rodgers and do not be like Shohei Ohtani's advisor, but do be like us and listen to this episode of the Shekel Up podcast. So, you know, that way you actually know what you're doing, and hopefully Shohei, Ohtani's little financial manager guy or whoever it is, I forgot, or it's his interpreter. There we go. You know, hopefully, you know, he made enough money. Hopefully he listened to this podcast, you know, because I'm not sure how much money you make as a baseball interpreter nowadays. That was a crazy story. But yeah, don't do that, folks. And just like that, if you enjoyed this episode of the Shekel Up podcast, please go like and subscribe and share all of our content. Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It helps others find the podcast, and we enjoy reading them as well. You can go and find Kurt and Hunter on everything at Made on Ridgeway Sports Podcast. And if you want more of those guys, you can go head on social media and look at Shekel Up Podcast. We are thriving on YouTube and thriving on TikTok at the moment. It's very wonderful. Go over to Twitter and follow myself at Annie Up Anthony. You can follow Big Hunter at Hunter_Keister4 and K-Mac at K_Mac7. Thank you guys for listening, and don't be like Shohei Ohtani's manager or interpreter and bet your mortgage.